welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton and Chris Cat.
Yo, what's up?
How are you doing, Chris? Are you there?
I am here, John.
He's in the house.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Listen, I want to give a shout out to our VFN Radio listeners. We are so encouraged by your comments, by your Facebook posts, by your sharing of just highlights and segments and just... Listen, we are here together, but I want to give a shout out to Martha and to Chris and to Michael and to Barry and to Anita and to Charles and to Kenneth. Oh my goodness, I just can't list everybody, but I want to give you a shout out and say thank you for listening. Be encouraged. And I want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners. We had a wonderful first hour and we had just so much to say. But you know, Pat, I was wondering. Mm-hmm. Because you know, I started to hear some growling. I wasn't sure if that was coming from
growling.
Okay, you know, growling. But, you know, it's, you know, lunchtime. But I was wondering, you know, have you heard of Abby Womack?
Wombach?
Abby Womack.
Wombach?
Wombach.
The soccer player?
Oh, my. Look, see? And
hey,
I doubt
hey, I watched the Olympics.
Unbelievable. Look at you.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's good.
How he does it. Perfect hair.
I don't either.
Limousine.
You ask him anything else, he'll shut down.
I mean, and he's filled with all of this just knowledge, this, you know, we're just.
I thought you told me.
Listen,
didn't you tell me that?
We are honored to know you. I just want you to know that.
All right, right. Okay. So, Abby Womack.
Womack. Am I saying her name right? Womack?
You are now, yeah.
All right, Womack. Well, I don't know if you guys have this down, you know, here in Jersey. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of Chipotle?
Chipotle sauce?
No. Chipotle, the chain. Chipotle. Chipotle. Have you heard of them?
No, just the sauce.
Oh my goodness! See, this is what happens. You got to venture out now. You got to venture out. In fact, Don had some of this stuff here. Okay, you know.
Okay.
This Chipotle. This is Abby here. Mm-hmm. I'm a little envious. I want to make a little confession right now. I just want to just go ahead and just put it out there and just, you know, maybe I can get healed of this right now. You know, I'm just, but.
Yeah.
She just won a gold card from Chipotle. Okay.
Uh-huh.
For one free burrito every day for her lifetime.
Every day?
Free burrito. Unlimited.
Oh my goodness.
It's calculated to be worth over the 40 years, $100,000.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. If you have never, ever been to Chipotle, mm-hmm. and you think about, I mean, how could you redo like Mexican yet again, right? It's like,
yeah, right.
There's the Mexican chain everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's, let me describe it to you this way, okay? Because you've got to have it.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't Taco Bell. No offense here. It's not Taco Bell. And it's not like sitting in a Mexican restaurant,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of fast food, but it's like good quality fast food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you, and it's simple. You're either going to get this bowl or you're going to get like this, I can't even call it a burrito, more like a bullet, like a major, like.
It's a log.
A log, exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like Moe's. We got something similar to that.
Yeah, but I've eaten it. This is not no Moe's. This is not no Moe's.
So right,
let's not get this twisted here. Let's not be confused. Let's set the record straight.
About the size, not necessarily
okay,
the taste.
All right,
they do make some big burritos.
This is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, put it this way. Once you take one bite, you can't put it down or it's going to fall apart. You're committed. Okay?
Oh, wow.
you're
all in, right?
You're all in once you take that first bite. You're not putting it down. You better have a Coke in your other hand or you're in trouble. But it's all this fresh, fresh stuff. I mean, you have your, they have this lime rice that's amazing.
Lime.
They have steak or chicken. I mean, with cilantro in it. I mean, it's lime rice with cilantro. I mean, it is so good, but it's all organic. It's all fresh. Mm-hmm. The vegetables are just amazing. And when you're eating it, you can taste like every ingredient. Oh, wow. My goodness. It is delicious.
Oh, wow.
But if you haven't, I'm telling you, if you drive out of town and you see Chipotle, just go ahead and just turn
it. Did you take Greg there?
I did not take him there.
Well, that's Mexican food. So he probably wouldn't have wanted it.
I'm gonna have to take him. I'm gonna have to take him next time. We ate all over New Jersey, New York last time. He's so true. You know, eating food up here is like going, you know, when you go to the festivals or the fair.
Yeah.
And your nose is like, oh my goodness, and you're smelling.
Oh, yeah, everything smells good.
That's what it's like here, dude. I mean, you're driving everywhere to, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, where is that coming from? Fasting here, oh my goodness, that is a whole new experience, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, that'd be torment, especially walking the streets. Oh my goodness.
Every smell, I mean, it's just so good. It's like going to the fair, man. It's like nonstop.
Wow.
It's like, I wasn't hungry, but that sure smells good. But anyway, Chipotle, you gotta go, gotta have one, you know, delicious. And Amy, or Abby, rather, if you're listening, talk to me. Talk to me.
Here's my
number. We can be friends. But I want to share with our VFN Radio listeners in our extra hour, in our second hour. We're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a conversation on something that's so important that can really be undetected. And it's a strategy. It's a strategy that's been waged by the enemy, you know, against God's people. And if we don't know, right? Bible says we're not ignorant of his schemes or devices.
Right.
We can be informed. We can be taught, if you will, and we can get revelation so that we can stand against these type of things that come against us. And so I want to talk about today about offense. And we talked yesterday in our abiding moment, in our wisdom moment, we talked about whether we want to promote love or promote offense, and the choice is totally up to us. But you really can't do both. You're going to promote love, you're going to promote an offense. And in Matthew 24, you know, verse 10 says that many will be offended and will betray one another. And this is serious. They'll betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. This is what you're seeing. And it's really important because, you know, the enemy knows. I mean, have you ever been offended, Pat? I mean, has that ever happened to you? Because I know.
I have to think back, but yeah, probably a couple times.
A couple times. Oh, Chris. Chris Cat, talk to us. I mean, have you ever been offended?
I would have to say yes.
Thank you for your honesty, sir.
So what did you mean by that?
Yeah, exactly. Are you offended? So an offended person will eventually betray somebody else. You know, and I'm thankful for, you know, John Bevere.
Yes.
John Bevere in his book, The Bait of Satan. Really talks about this, and if you haven't gotten that, but you need to get that. That's going to encourage you. It's going to help you out. Okay? But he goes into more detail. But it calls it the bait of Satan, and it's really a trap. Because what happens is that, you know, in 2 Corinthians, you know, that we wrestle not, you know, in Ephesians we wrestle like against flesh and blood, right? But also, you know, 2 Corinthians, we're taught where you know the Bible shares that we need to pull down every stronghold, every ideology, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, that we got to pull down vain imaginations,
right?
And just every thought that runs through your mind, that's not necessarily your thought.
Right.
I can give you a thought.
Lord, I hope not.
Tell me about it. The enemy can give you a thought, fiery thought, you know, darts. You can have a thought, you know, so not everything that runs through your mind is of you, your own doing. And so you got to think about these reasonings and all these different things that happen. Mm-hmm. You understand that an offended person seeks to protect itself from being betrayed.
Right.
I don't want to be betrayed. Mm-hmm. It's just looking out for themselves, you know, just protection. And betrayal, I love this. Betrayal is when a person seeks his own benefit or protection at the expense of the one he has a relationship with. Mm-hmm. Think about that. It's a little different definition. You think of betrayal, oh, I'm going to turn somebody in. I'm going to do them wrong. No, it's when a person seeks his own benefit or his own protection at the expense of the one he has a relationship, just being solely self-focused. Mm-hmm. And you're willing to sacrifice that relationship to protect yourself. You know, when push comes to shove, they're going to protect themselves.
Yeah.
And hatred really is just the absence of love. So, you know, it's amazing how you think you got to be like, oh, just as vengeful and it's all. Yeah. I don't hate anyone. Well, do you, is there any void of love in that relationship there? You know what I'm saying? Right. Do you withhold love? That's pretty hateful. Think about it. That's pretty hateful. If you withhold love, it's one of the kind of worst things you could ever do is withhold love.
Yeah.
If you have your power within you to love someone, mm-hmm. you should love them. You know, because if you're withholding them, then you're putting, you know, a barrier. You're putting limitations. You know, God doesn't love us with limits. He loves us unconditionally, freely.
Right.
Not because someone does something or, you know, you can't manipulate people mm-hmm. with our love. You're either going to love them or you're not, right? You're going to love me or you're not.
All right.
You have to perform for your love. Now we're really in trouble.
All right.
So an offended heart, though, can be a breeding ground for deception. Because mm-hmm. it's amazing. Once you've been offended, it's amazing how it's just begin to shut down. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, talk to the hand. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then the accuser comes in. And begins to accuse. Mm-hmm. And you get all these lies and all this stuff. And all of a sudden you're taking your own counsel and you're having a conversation with yourself. I mean, there's no one in the room now. You got no phone plugged in your ear. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You're having a conversation with yourself because the accuser is accusing you or accusing others to you. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm offended.
Right.
Offended. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to isolate you from the person that you're being offended with.
Right.
If the enemy can isolate you and take you out of godly relationships, think about that. You know, it's hard. I mean, certainly you can be offended by a stranger, right? Mm-hmm. But it's amazing how offense becomes so powerful amongst those that you're really close with.
Oh, yeah. You get a lot more tolerance for those you don't know.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you think, I mean, sometimes you just get offended with anybody. You know, so you cut you off and you cut you off and
you got other issues going on.
Yeah. Right. but it's like, okay, we need to pray some more about this. But those that are close, it's like, wait a minute. And if you understand the strategy here, it's to isolate you and it's to take you away from especially those godly relationships that you have. Mm-hmm. Why? So that the enemy can just continue to fill you with all sort of deceptive lies. I mean, he is the father of lies. That is his trade. He is a master liar.
Right.
He is a master deceiver. Mm-hmm. He is a trickster. He doesn't have any real power of his own.
That's right.
It's just all manipulated, just deception and trickery and isolation makes you a candidate, susceptible, if you will, mm-hmm. to being deceived, because then you begin to start taking your own counsel.
Right.
And in the last days, we know that the love of many is going to grow cold. And love is a key ingredient. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You're right.
Because the person who's easily offended is like, wait a second. Why is this happening? You realize that one of the things that happens that causes us to be offended is when we start having expectations of others.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, yeah.
Ever done that before?
You're in trouble. Oh, yeah.
You know, because you start having these expectations and you're setting yourself up. Mm-hmm. You're setting yourself up because especially those that are close to you, think, oh, they're supposed to do this, they're supposed to do that, they're supposed to do this. And expectations, you know, certainly, I mean, there are some things that you want to walk out, you want to just, you know, there's maybe some natural expectations. We're still growing in this. And then there's some unnatural expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people have a lot of unnatural expectations. But then too, when you think about it, why have any expect? Just trust God with everything. Nobody owes you anything. And so there's two people typically fall into two groups, because then there's people that who have been genuinely offended, and then there's people that who think they've been offended. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, right.
I wasn't offending you here. I was just stating a fact.
Yeah, I was just venting.
Your shit is dirty. I mean, it's like, you know, right. It's dirty. I'm sorry that offended you. I'm just kind of telling you that your shirt is dirty. Mm-hmm. You know? But it's amazing that some people can be easily offended by things that are just not, you know, they're not meant to be offended. I mean, many were offended with Jesus, and he just told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't go offending someone and say you're just telling the truth like Jesus. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got to share the truth with love. Right. You can be sharing the truth, but if you share it in an offensive way,
right,
then yeah, somebody can get offended with your delivery,
right?
And that's for the person doing it. But also at the same time, you know, if you're on the receiving end, the question, because not everyone's going to say things the way you'd like them to say it, mm-hmm. right, all nice and all, just, you know, they're not going to say it that way,
right?
But what they're going to say is, you know, what you got to ask yourself to guard yourself from being offended is, you know, are they telling me the truth?
Right, exactly.
Is there truth here? Is there truth? If it's the truth, then you can, you know, the Bible says it's to a man's glory to overlook an offense. It's to a man's glory to overlook an offense. And so you're going to need to begin to start overlooking,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, offense. You're going to have to start overlooking that,
mm-hmm.
and start saying, you know what? I need to turn this to God.
Right.
I need to turn this to God. And so if you're finding it a hard time, to forgive people that have offended you, more than likely you've actually forgotten yourself of how much God's forgiven you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of an offense is to separate you, to get you so offended, to get you so isolated, to hold that thing that someone's did against you as like the worst thing in the world.
Right.
And you bought it hook, line, and sinker, and now you're not even forgiving the person. Now you're not forgiving them from their heart. You say you forgive them, but you won't forget. That's not real forgiveness. You got to be able to forgive from your heart. You got to remember. You got to remember how much God has forgiven you.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
And it's important. It's important because if we're constantly being offended, you know, in the church, if we're constantly being offended amongst the family, you have families that are totally divided.
Mm-hmm.
You have husband and wives that are offended against each other. You have children that are offended by the parents, parents that are offended by the children, and children don't even know they could be offensive, but they're offending their parents left and right.
Right.
You know, congregations that are offended with each other and with, yeah, the pastor, and it's like,
oh, yeah,
there's a strategy here. Where is the love?
All right.
Where is the love?
Mm-hmm.
And I love that scripture in Proverbs, which says, "It's to a man's glory to overlook an offense." Some people are offense magnets.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, "Well, be careful. Walk gingerly next to that person, because if you crook it,
yeah,
you know,
it might explode. Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen.
It might catch a fence like a Velcro."
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you walk by, it's like, what? You know, and they've become a magnet for every sort of offense. You don't want to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not victorious living. It's not victorious living, and you're not going to enjoy the fruit of real relationships.
Right.
Real relationships. You gotta take the ruler off of people, break the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand that your relationship in God is very, very important. Just knowing the fact that the enemy wants to isolate you,
mm-hmm.
wants to bring a wedge between those relationships that are so important, wants to take you apart,
mm-hmm.
from those that God has brought into your life, that alone, just that awareness alone, because when you're by yourself,
mm-hmm.
The enemy roams, right?
Yeah, like a roaring lion. Yeah.
Seeking who he can
devour.
Devour.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice that, you know, when animals, for instance, are in packs,
mm-hmm.
it's very hard for them to be attacked. There's always that one that strays from the pack. There's always that right. one that gets pulled away or gets isolated.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
He or she becomes a guinea pig. He or she is just prime target. It was all right. a strategy. It was right. all a strategy to attack you. It was all a strategy to isolate you. Mm-hmm. It was all a strategy to come against the light that you did have in God. The enemy wants to come to snuff it out.
Mm-hmm.
And part of, you know, being offended is when we're hearing truth. I mean, these days, this generation, it's like, who wants to hear the truth?
All right.
Like, just tell me what my itching ears want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, correction is like a good thing, right?
That's right.
It's showing you where you're off the path.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the goal here is to stay on the what? Straight and right?
Straight and narrow path.
Narrow road.
That's right.
Not to veer off on the wide road,
mm-hmm.
right?
With That's right.
destruction, but to stay on God's path. And so if we need to come into an alignment and come into a place where we can stay on that road to ensure what we want to have is relationship with God and just be in right standing with God and you know, to the best of our ability, to the grace of God, we're going to need to hear certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not reachable, you're not teachable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not reachable because everything is an offense, you know, if someone has to build up 20 minutes Mm-hmm. tell you nice things before they get ready to tell you what you need to hear. That's
yeah.
a problem.
That's a clue, right?
That's a clue. If they're tiptoeing around the issue, and it's because they have been. It's been proven that
mm-hmm.
maybe you can't receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to be able to receive it, to be able to make a determination to say, you want to say, listen, I am not going to take offense. I'm just right. not going to do it.
That's right.
By the grace of God, I'm just not going to take. And you need humility for that because pride. So,
that's the root of it.
Thank you.
That's the root
yeah.
of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because pride says, who are you to be telling
that's
me
that's right.
I know better.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just be wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just be wrong?
Right.
You know, you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? Which one do you want?
Mm.
You want to be right? Yeah, you can be right.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah. Kill everybody in the process.
Exactly. Or you want to be reconciled with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is so, so, so important. We want to be able to get this. We want to get this down on the deep side of us because it's a major, major, major strategy that's being waged against us. And unknowingly, many are destroying relationships. Listen, if we have God and each other, the church, we're going to make it. We're going to be okay.
Right.
But if he starts coming against, you know what I'm saying, your arm or your leg or your, you know, your brother, or your sister, and he's wedging you against that, you're in for a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, evil people pay back evil for good. You don't want to, you just don't want to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get into that. You want to be in a place where you can just forgive and let go.
Right.
You know, forgive and let go. Offense, it's a great way to trip you up, to take you away, to isolate you, to get you frustrated and pulled away from the very relationships that God has placed in your life. And it's a tool of the enemy. It is to a man's glory to overlook an offense. It's to a man's glory to overlook an offense and to move and to promote love. We'll be right back.
There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat,
mm-hmm.
worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right mm-hmm. in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father, and he was, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad, and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now.
Oh,
my
wow.
mother, yeah, she can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have to do a conference call or something and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV and the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad. Uh-huh. And, they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone, and we have an app for your Android. Mm-hmm. You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. Has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad, and all the moms and dads out there. Listen, you can get VFN TV, the Daily Radio program, right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive. you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out, they came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in and died. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today,
right?
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 900, one-sixth of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to them, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. We were able to have Pat interpretate. Did you hear that? Okay. He interpreted it.
Okay.
He interpreted Fonzie and Potsy. And you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I'm Googling interpretate, but I'm trying to find it. And like Google knows, it seems to know everything, but somewhere interpretate's not coming
up.
Interpretate. I'm spelling it right.
Are you spelling it right?
But it keeps on trying to correct it like it's not a word or something.
Oh,
that's like a squiggly line underneath it. Interpretate. That's amazing, isn't it?
Interpretate.
Interpret.
I can write that.
Interpretate. You know, maybe our listeners can help us out with that. But I'm just glad he interpreted it.
I'm glad too. Welcome back to VFN Radio. Joining us in the Extra Hour, I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton and Chris.
All right. What's going on?
Well, hey, man, we had a great, great Extra Hour, and I can't believe we're coming to the end of the Extra Hour here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we ended up our last, before commercial break, we were talking about offense and how we need to guard ourselves from that.
Very good.
And it's so important because it's a strategy from the enemy, and we're not ignorant of his devices. Mm-hmm. So now that we're aware that his whole plan is to isolate us and to from those that we're supposed to have relationship with and to bring us into sort of deception, because that's who he is. He's the father of lies. So
that's right.
I mean, pretty powerful stuff.
It's very good. It's very good. You know, it really reminds me when I was reading the scripture this morning. In fact, it's probably one of the very first ones I ever memorized, and it's in Romans 12:1-2.
Oh, okay.
And which reminded me, especially when you're talking about the spirit of offense, it just took me way back. You know, you guys remember being in a small men's group?
Yes.
I mean, those were some good days.
Yes. Those were very good days.
I mean, it was that changed my life, literally. I mean, I remember when I first came into a small men's group, you know, it was Greg and Gary Hinkey, you remember him?
Right, yeah,
and
yeah.
Fred Englund and Vince Cooper. And, you know, I was fresh out of the world when I first came to that group. I mean, fresh. And these guys have been meeting for a while already.
Yeah, those are good men, too. Those are good guys.
Oh, yeah. I've really looked up to those guys. Awesome, godly men. Still do.
Yeah.
And I just remember, man, the love. And it was just so... I don't know how to explain it. It was just totally new experience for me.
Now, what was that, though? I mean, tell us more about it. You were in a small men's group, but what did you do there? Did you guys fish?
Oh, man. You know, you remember Promise Keepers, you know? And when I first came into the group, we were going through that book. And that whole book, you know, talks about, you know, being a godly man. What is that? What's that look like? You know,
right,
it talks about the seven promises of a promise keeper, right?
Right.
You know, teach you how to be a godly man, godly husband. You know, what does a godly, father look like? I mean, just, you know, the whole thing.
So you're walking this thing out in a kind of a small men's group.
Yeah, absolutely.
How often did you guys meet?
I think we met like at least once a week.
Oh,
once
cool.
a week, yeah. It was pretty often, which I needed it.
Right.
Because, you know, coming out fresh out of the world, you had a lot of baggage, you know.
Really?
Unlike you, I know. I think you were perfect.
More like Chris.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to do with his Bible, so I mean, he just can't even. That's not it.
Yeah, we can't go there.
Yeah, right. You know, that last segment really made me think about those days, you know, because that was me that you were describing. I must offended continually.
Right.
You know, which really comes from a lot of baggage of, you know, really what that is you're hurt.
Yeah.
And you've never been healed.
Yeah.
You know, so you walk around and constantly offended all the time. You think, so everybody's out to get you. You know, they mean to do you harm continually. So everything offends you, right?
Right. So you're trying to protect yourself as if you could actually do that.
Right, exactly. And so anyway, you know, through these guys, I mean, I prayed out loud for the first time. I mean, which was terrifying. Because it's like, I don't even talk to people, much less pray. What are you doing? it was awesome. But you know, first time I ever memorized a scripture, and that's what really brought me to this. It's the very first scripture I memorized, and I still know it to this day, was Romans 12:1-2, which just totally took me back. You know,
wow.
And it's therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
Wow.
Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Mm.
And I've carried that with me ever since. And when that scripture so penetrated my heart, it's like, man, I really want to know what God's will is for my life. What am I supposed to be doing? I mean, obviously mm-hmm. God saved me for a reason. My whole paradigm just changed. I mean, I'm just like, this whole new world just opened up to me. Mm-hmm. You know, what is it you want me to do?
Wow.
Well, before I had to find out what he wanted me to do, there's some things that he had to work up out of me first to make room for that.
Oh, really?
Hence, that's why he had me in that group. So the whole thing was just all happening at once. You know, he was just carving on me, carving on me, carving on me, working these things out of me. Yeah. And that offense had to go.
Mm.
That was one of the things. You know, by no means am I saying I don't get offended anymore, but I'm not like I used to, believe me.
Right. But it's, you grow. You know, we're all growing, and if you stop growing, I mean, no one's sinless until, my goodness, I mean, so no one's sinless at all.
Until
you know,
the Jesus, end. Yeah. Until Jesus comes back. So, you know, and it was just a great growing, learning experience for me that, you know, you think about Jesus, you know, he had his 12,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then he had his 3, which is a more intimate group.
Mm.
And then Jesus had his 1.
Right.
You know, and I'll never forget those times, you know, with those one-on-one times when it really you get to the heart, the deep things.
Yeah.
All right. All that other stuff is cool, but you got to deal with this. This is, you know, it's time for that to go.
That's the real deal.
Think about it.
Think how much is missing in the church at large is these intimate relationships
mm-hmm.
that you can develop over a series of times. You know, the nature of those relationships and like anyone, an analogy that was used during that time was that it's mm-hmm. like rounding the bases, you know, mm-hmm. first basis. You know, I don't know you, we're acquaintances. I just know that you love God, I love God, and we're kind of hanging out together.
Mm-hmm.
And then after you start, you know, coming and sharing and being a part,
mm-hmm.
All of a sudden it's like, okay, you know, I can consider you my friend. You know, I consider you my friend in God, and
absolutely.
You know, and we can start talking, and
mm-hmm.
and with each stage comes a certain level of, you know, I guess intimacy, responsibility, and trying to get to third base, you know, which is like brothers, you know.
Yeah.
And now we can hold each other accountable, and I can tell you some things, mm-hmm. you know, and you can tell me some things, and we can hold each other accountable.
Absolutely, and that was good because you knew the next week, you know, if there were some things that you guys talked about holding each other accountable in, you mm-hmm. know, they're going to ask you, so how's that whatever problem going on? You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Chris,
have you killed anybody recently?
right.
You know.
With your words.
Right, exactly, yes. And that's part of that renewing your mind, you know. You got to mm-hmm. get rid of that stinking thinking like you said earlier. And that only comes through the Word of God, you know.
Yeah.
That's, you got to stay in the Word, which abiding daily. It's going to require that. It's your sustenance. It's your life. It's manna. You know.
You're renewing yourself. I mean,
right.
You're spending time with God and you're reading your word.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah says that God's word is like a hammer. Yeah. And what happens is that, you know, throughout life, we've developed these strongholds. And all the stronghold is like it's a pattern of thinking. It's a mindset. Any mindset that's not based on the word of God. So it's mm-hmm. like, why do you do that? Or why do you respond that way? Or why do you, well, we've always done it this way. And then, you know, you're amazed by how much your culture, your environment, your family has so much to do with the way someone thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if your family, your environment, your culture has never been grounded on God, rest assured, there's some stinking thinking going on in your mind.
Absolutely.
And just because it makes sense to you
mm-hmm.
and to your family, maybe, or to your environment,
mm-hmm.
doesn't necessarily mean that it makes sense to God and the way God wants you to live.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is so important. I mean, you spend time with God's word, that word begins to start, you know, to chip away and break at some of those wrong patterns of thinking. It says that got to go. And just kind of chisel that thing way out so that mm-hmm. God's word can just start, you know, washing over you. And before you know it, you become transformed.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what he did and is doing still to this day.
Sure.
And, you know, because I so wanted to be used by God, you know, because I just, you know, especially where we came from with God was moving so powerfully
sure.
back in those days and still is, but it was just manifested in such an awesome way. And you're just like, man, you just see yourself just doing these awesome things for God because you're so sure. in love with him, you know.
Sure.
But
and look, you're doing them today.
Exactly.
Look what you're doing today.
Exactly. Of course, I never had this in mind. It was never like how you imagined it. It's like, oh, that's what you meant. Okay.
Yeah. Did any of us?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it is. you know. And then I remember the beginning days, you know, we used to do the father and son camping trips every year, and it was like, wow, that was a huge stretch of, you know, character building and learning how to talk to people, you know, and manage people, and, you know, and just, cause you get all different types of personalities that you're going to have to, you know, you just can't be rough with, you know what I'm saying? You can't act like you used to act. It's totally, totally different ballgame.
And that's important, because what you're saying is it's character building. What you're saying, I mean, it's like, oh, someone could be listening to talking, right? What are you talking about? Well, no, it's not just management. It's not just, you know, delegating. It's being able to recognize that you're talking to the body of Christ, that you're, that whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, Jesus, that you've done to me. Mm-hmm. So you're coming under a place, and we all have and still are, where want to be careful in what we're saying. We want to make sure that we're honoring of other people, and that we're speaking to other people the way that we would want to speak to Jesus Christ, because that's what we're doing. We're not flippantly, we're evaluating. The proverb says a wise man gives thought to his ways. How did I come across, and how did I say that? Or did that come, was that, because that hurtful in any kind of way? And being willing to be humble, to apologize and say, you know what, I said something that was inappropriate and it sounded right. Would you forgive me? Because you care about the body, you care about Jesus, and that's awesome. Because you're dealing with so many people under stressful,
right?
You know,
and that spirit of offense, it just can't be there. I mean, you just cannot. It's just, you can't. It's got to go. And they will work your last nerve too. Oh my goodness! But you know, praise God, nobody died. You know what I'm saying?
What's important? It's important, because what you're saying is that you went through a process where you honored Jesus.
Absolutely.
And more of us need to do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We got to come to the place of, you're just not talking to anybody. You shouldn't talk to anyone that way. That when you do anything for any person, you've got to recognize, I'm talking to Jesus Christ. Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done to me. You've done or haven't done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it does matter. It does matter. I know that maybe you've been treated that way, or you've thought it was normal. We've seen some stuff thinking, really? Is that normal? No, it does matter. Absolutely. You got to slow down to the pace of love, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and there was one experience I wanted to share as well. You know, we remember the big stadium events with Promise Keepers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how powerful they were. I remember the very first one I went to. This was probably back in 96.
Oh, wow.
It was it? In New Orleans Superdome.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't with you at the time, but I was there.
Right, amazing. Right. Yeah, oh my goodness.
Event, and we didn't even know each other at that. Yeah. You were there and I was there, and I didn't even know you.
Yeah, exactly. I had no
That's
idea.
Amazing.
But that was, I believe, the beginning of what God was doing in my heart, because I think this last, what, 2-3 days? How long did this take?
Yeah.
A couple days?
Yeah.
And I remember the very first night we got there, and I walk in this building, and I see nothing but men. It was like a sea of men.
Yeah.
Singing, worshiping, praising God, you know, lifted up hands. And I mean, you could just feel the presence of God just rushing through you.
Yeah.
It was powerful.
It was, wasn't it?
And without anybody saying anything, doing anything, all of a sudden, I just felt this overwhelming sensation in my heart.
Wow.
You know, and this was back in a time, you got to realize, you know, I had a 5-year-old son, you know, and at that time I didn't realize the significance of what, how important it is a father is in a son's life, because, you know, you grow up in a situation where you didn't have your father around all the time.
Right.
You just never saw the significance of it. It was just, oh, that was that guy that, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so I was repeating the same behaviors, you know, just not thinking it was important enough. You know, I wasn't spending that much enough time with him. And God just supernaturally just reached inside my chest. I mean, I remember to this day, and he just on a dime turned me. And all I could think about was, oh my gosh, he needs me. He needs me. Like he needs air to breathe. I mean, that's how significant it was. Like, I need Father God in my life.
Right.
This boy that I brought to this world needs me in his life.
Wow.
And it's just totally, you know, because I was, at that time, I was just very selfish. All I cared about was me and, you know, and just.
Well, think about this, too.
Think about, yeah.
Society Mm-hmm. I mean, look at society today. Society today has said that you're not important. Mm-hmm. Society has told you that you don't matter. The fathers don't matter. They're not important. They can't contribute. Mm-hmm. You know, they can only support a child financially, but they obviously can't contribute anything into their emotion, into their mm-hmm. to their spiritual life, into their development. Well, he can, you know, show them about sports, mm-hmm. but that's what society's at today. So it's, you know, it's not strange if you didn't know God to, you know, to come under that and think, well, I guess, you know, I'll talk to him when he becomes a teenager. Think about it.
Right, right.
You know?
So, yeah, I mean, it was a very powerful time in my life, and I'll never forget it. Awesome.
Wow.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing, man. I mean, that's so awesome what happens when you give yourself like that to God and just say, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to become a living sacrifice. I'm going to allow you to, I'm going to work with you as you're transforming
I'm
me.
I'm going to take you at your word.
I'm going to take you as you're at your word. Mm-hmm. That's pretty, pretty powerful, man. Wow. Well, we're coming close to the end of our first hour. We want to talk about the wisdom moment. Mm-hmm. You know, every day in our program, we want you to share the wisdom moments, wisdom from God's word. And the wisdom moment today, the proverb we're going to share is in Proverbs 18, chapter 6. You know, wisdom, my goodness, throughout the book of Proverbs, there's a constant comparison between a fool and a wise man or a wise woman. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but it's the rod of correction that drives it out. And so, you know, all of us from children are born with just foolishness. You know, we're born with a sinful nature. And it's what you were saying now. It's the renewing of our mind. It's the washing of the word. It's the abiding. It's growing in godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but godly wisdom that allows this foolishness to come outside of us, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in Proverbs 18:6, it says that a fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. Mm. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. This is important. This is important because, mm-hmm. you know, there is a transition from a fool to a wise man or to a wise woman. But if you can't even identify, if you're offended by that,
yeah.
if you're offended by that, then mm-hmm. you got issues. Because there is a transition that should occur, a transformation rather. And it talks about just the power of words. That a fool's lips bring him strife. The power of words. You know, words have an amazing ability to either build up someone or tear someone down. I mean, it's totally remarkable what just words, what words can accomplish. And you look at the presidential debate. I mean, it's you're seeing almost a war of words,
yeah.
a dialogue that's just being just broadcast on both sides.
Right.
And you can tell by when someone's speaking, if they're speaking from wisdom, or if they're speaking from foolishness, mm-hmm. because it's in them, and so they matter. They matter greatly. When you think about strife, because mm-hmm. a fool's lips bring him strife. And you may have heard that word, but you may have not known what it means. It just means lack of agreement or harmony. There's disorder, a disturbance of the peace. It's a bitter conflict. And you look everywhere. It's just strife, 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 strife. Some people just carry strife with them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're foolish. Maybe they're what the Bible, what the book of Proverbs would describe is as a fool. Mm-hmm. Because it's a pig pen of strife. Their life is in disorder. They're in disorder. There's never any peace. There's never any harmony. And they're loosing things with words. They're releasing words into the atmosphere. It's in the spirit realm. It's just like launching things all over the place. You know, mm-hmm. already is exercising. We speak things out. God spoke the world into existence.
That's
right. And he's just releasing all types of things. You're made in the image of God, right? So Proverbs 22 mm-hmm. says that drive out the mocker and out goes strife, quarrels, and insults are ended.
Mm-hmm.
And Proverbs 18:2 says that a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. It's like, wait a second, this got you a clue.
Mm-hmm.
If you're always on the sharing end and not on the understanding end, you know, maybe we need to seek first to understand rather than to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
You got to dial it back because a humble person trying to operate in wisdom is not just firing off 1, 2, 3 constantly, mm-hmm. you know, and it's bound up. Proverbs 23 says that 20 verse 3 says it is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. This, I mean, is everything an argument?
Right.
So we're learning that you got to get foolishness out. It's a trap. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. What he thinks, what he feels. The Bible says that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man brings a good thing stored up in him, and the evil man brings the evil thing stored up in him. It's time to let go of these foolish ways. It's time to get those out of our life. It's time to abide. It's time to get the word of God inside of us that is breaking and chipping away all the foolishness so that God's wisdom would have a deep reservoir in our life and in our hearts. When we do speak, we're speaking words of life, words that build up, words that encourage, and not words that stir strife in our home, family, business, church. Mm-hmm. It's time. It's time to let the wisdom of God flow. The word of wisdom, the moment of wisdom today is found in Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.